Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life with host Janine Davis and special guest Zach Neese, worship pastor of Gateway Church. Today's discussion will be how to worship a king.
Good morning. Welcome to Vine Life Connection. I'm your host, Janine Davis, and we are at part two with How to Worship a King with Pastor Neese. We're going to just get right into it. Pastor Zach Neese is the worship pastor at Gateway Church, and he's with us, and we are talking about how to worship a king, how to go through the temple of God, and some of the things that get in our way to keep us from the Holy of Holies. Good morning, Pastor Neese.
Good morning.
Thank
how
you
are
for
you?
Part two. Oh, I'm blessed.
Me too.
And I am really digging all of this. Yeah, I said the word digging, so yes, I've told on myself and how old I am, but this is just really good stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so where do you want to go from here?
Well, you know, you and I were just talking about the gifting and am I prepared to use that? And how can I, you know, I've prayed this, God, you've given me certain gifts, but I don't want to be promoted to any place that would cause my head or my heart to be puffed
right.
up in a way
yes.
that would somehow detract from my relationship with you. If it's going to be harmful for me or my kids, I don't want it, right?
I don't want it.
And you know, some people that are listening right now are thinking, you know, I'm not musically gifted. You guys aren't talking about me. We've kind of elevated those musical gifts, but the musical gift is not any more valuable than any. There are people that have gifts to communicate with people. People that have gifts, they hug people and people feel the healing presence of God. There are people who are gifted with accounting and being chefs, and God gives all kinds of different gifts.
Yes.
But any gift can be a gift that's utilized to enable people to connect with the living God.
Amen.
Any gift can be a worship-leading gift.
Yes, and building the kingdom.
And so gift
that,
can also...
You just said worship building.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because people don't think outside of those terms. They think of worship as music, getting up there singing, praising, turning cartwheels, hallelujah, and all of that. And then Monday, or you're going back as usual. And it's not that. It could
no.
be anything that you do can bring life.
Yeah.
And praise God in the kingdom of God. And that's true worship, isn't it, Pastor?
That's right. And this is something that we need to understand. You know, there's not a single word in the Hebrew or the Greek for worship that has anything to do with music. Isn't that interesting? And what we've done is this really happened since, really it's just been the last 100 years or so that we've decided that worship and music are the same thing, because our forefathers in the church understood that worship is Romans 12:1. Therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Let's not argue about what is worship in spirit and truth. Worship in truth is when my actions and my motivations are in integrity with the character of Christ.
Yes.
And worship in spirit is when my life is overflowing with that holy, submitted, living, breathing, walking, talking life of mm-hmm. worship. It becomes who I am.
Yeah, the Bible says that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Let's talk about the truth.
Mm.
What does that truth mean to each individual? The truth of knowing who God is, certainly. But our truth in knowing that we can't do it without Jesus.
Yeah.
That we are perfected only in him.
Yeah.
And this is what I tell people. You are only as good as he is in you.
Yeah. That's right. Jesus said, I am the way,
yes,
the truth.
The truth.
The truth. There it is. And the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Have you ever been in a church service where we're singing about the fire, we're singing about the water? Sometimes, you know, we spend a lot of time singing to ourselves in church. We sing songs about us a lot of times. And I just started noticing when I visit churches that you can go to a service and not one time address Jesus Christ, and not one time glorify him, sing to him, connect with him. And if Jesus is the way, if he's the gate, how on earth am I ever going to come into the presence of God without coming through Jesus Christ?
I love that. Yes, yes, I saw that. I saw that in your writings. I love that teaching.
Mm, absolutely. He's the door. He's the gate. He's the way through. So he's got to remain the focus of all things I do. But, you know, we were talking just a second ago about worship can be... we can lead worship through any gift. What about how? Okay, so let's look at prophecy that way. prophecy is just communicating the heart and the vision and the word, the ways of God. And we always think of prophecy as being, I'm speaking for God to someone else. But God can speak through any gift.
Any gift. Any person.
That's right. That means you've been created as a prophetic worship being to communicate the heart and the vision and the perspective of God to the world around you.
Amen.
And if I stay connected to that heart through worship is what sticks me to the heart of God so that He can communicate through me to the world. What would happen if we had a world full of worshipers who were stuck to the heart of God and that God was pouring His ways, His speech, His character, His nature through all these prophets running around all over the earth, just constantly connecting lost souls to the heart and the vision of their Father God. I tell you what, we'd have a saved world.
Amen. Amen.
But we think that worship and prophecy and preaching are somehow relegated to a platform ministry. And the people of God have lost their identity as the worshipers, the prophets, the priests of the Most High.
Because they're, you know, so many times when they think they've reached that plateau, they've got these doctorates and PhDs and this and this and that, and they're so enamored with the law that they've forgotten the Spirit.
Yeah.
Sounds like we've been there before in the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, and this person and that person, the high priest, they were so enamored with keeping that law that, of course, they couldn't keep it. But when the Spirit was right in their midst, they didn't even know who He was.
Oh, no.
And He came to fulfill the law because He knew that we couldn't keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right.
So that thing, what you were talking about, going to different churches, and you can be sitting there all through the world, and you don't hear Jesus, not one time.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many times that people, they sing about and they write these songs about what Jesus did for them. And that's a testament and a testimony, and I love those songs.
Sure.
But there's something about worship.
Mm.
Glory to God. There's something about worship. Like, I've been invited to a lot of places, and someone might say, well, would you sing this and that? And I don't want to be rude, but don't tell me what song to sing. Because sometimes I don't even know what song I'm going to sing. Sometimes it's a new song that comes right up out of my spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing, it's not hard.
Mm-mm.
It is not hard to worship the King.
Mm-mm.
It's not hard to live a life of demonstration.
No.
And the example.
No.
In the Word of God.
No.
All we have to do is be willing.
Yeah.
To go there.
That's
to
right.
live in His truth.
That's
and
right.
to say, Lord, I messed up.
Yeah.
Lord, I can't do this without You.
Oh, we don't want to say that.
Jesus, will You? And see, that's what David was to God. David was a murderer.
Yeah.
He was an adulterer. I mean, we could go down the line with his disciples.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're just like that. We're so messed up.
Yeah.
But there's this pride thing. I don't have any. I don't care.
Yeah.
Lord, help me today.
Yeah.
Help me, Jesus. Pour Your precious blood on me.
Yeah.
Wash me.
Yeah.
Lord, and it wasn't even so much as I can give it to others. I just want to be in Your presence.
Yeah.
And everything else trickles down from there.
Yeah.
Because wherever we are in a grocery store, you know, I have been in a grocery store. And people have stopped me. Oh, my God, what is that? The Spirit of the Most High God.
Yeah.
You feel that?
Yeah, that's
Will
exactly
you pray
right.
pray for me?
Right.
Amen.
That's because you're just a vessel. You're just
we are.
You know what's funny? I think we have this wrong perspective of the type of person God can fill and use. And so I was talking to this group in Brazil a few months ago, and I just asked them, you know, if I were to set three vessels on this table, and we have a golden goblet it's just encrusted with jewels, and then beside that we have a silver goblet that's etched and gorgeous and carved, and beside that we have a clay bowl that looks like it was pinched by a four-year-old. It's just a pinch pot, you know.
Yeah.
Which one of those is the vessel of honor? And you know, people saying, well, the gold one, the silver one. I'll tell you which one the vessel of honor is. Whichever one he picks up is the vessel of honor. Because what makes you a vessel of honor is whose hand you're in.
Mm.
And what's inside the vessel.
Yes.
So when Jesus reaches over, he's just saying, all right, who wants to be picked up? Who loves me enough to stay in my hand? That's the That's the key. Who loves me? And that's David. Who loves me enough to be in my hand, to stay in my hand?
Yes.
That's what made him different. So here was David. This I mean, he was a jacked up pinch pot. There was cracks all through him. And so Jesus, God, reached out and picked up David, this messed up vessel, and he filled him with the Spirit of God. And then here's the beauty of being a cracked, messed up vessel, is that everywhere he carries you, you just leak. So he takes you into the grocery store and, God, I have faults. Yeah, I know you have faults. I'm going to use those to leak through the world, because the very places where I as a human being have failed are the places that God can minister to the world through when those things are healed and submitted to him. Mm-hmm. So Zach is a messed up vessel. You're a messed up vessel. David was a messed up vessel. Just pinch pots, but we become vessels of honor when we're in the hands of a Most High God who carries us around the world, leaks all over the place, and just waters his people.
Now, you talked about Brazil and third world countries. I've traveled in different places. I know you've had to see this. The worship is different than in the United States.
Yeah.
When I was in South Africa, I was, I think I was in Johannesburg, because I went to Cape Town too. And maybe it was Cape Town, Good Hope Church. There were so many people, you know, and the pastor said, get out there on the platform. And I wasn't supposed to sing that night. It was supposed to have been someone else. And he said, you go out there. And so I went out on the platform, and when I saw all these people, and I looked backstage, and he said, sing something like that. And as I began to sing, and he said, no, they want the song in your spirit. And when I began to sing the song in my spirit, the people just started falling. And I was scared, because I've never seen that type of praise and worship in the United States.
Yeah.
And the pastor looked at me, and he was laughing. He said, keep going. He was raising his hand like, keep going. And it was amazing to me. The power of the worship of the people was raw. I'd never seen or experienced anything like that before in my life. It was like Jesus standing right there.
Yeah.
The anointing of the wanting of God.
So what's wrong with us? That's my question. What's
wrong
with the church in the United States?
I don't know what's wrong with us, Pastor.
Well, where's that wanting you were talking about?
The wanting. They wanted Jesus. So some of them had walked 50, 60 miles
with
baskets of stuff on their heads because they camped out.
Yeah.
And then they get up and they walk some more to get to the destination where they could all come together and worship Jesus.
That's right. They're coming
and
for days from the Amazon.
And we have a car. Sometimes we don't even want to drive.
That's right. We're a little spoiled, aren't we?
Oh, my God.
So how do I, in this, and I've heard, you know, I've heard believers in China in the underground church where they're being persecuted and they're having bamboo shoots put underneath their fingernails for loving Jesus, and they're telling us that they're praying for the church in the United States because they have something that we don't have. They need him. They want him. They love him because they don't have any artificial substitutes.
Yeah.
They don't have anything else to lean on. And I've seen exactly what you're talking about. And sometimes I don't even know how to pray right for our country, because we have so many churches that have so much stuff.
Well, they unfortunately, you know, a lot of churches have programs, which are good.
Sure.
As long as you don't leave Jesus out of your program.
That's right. You know,
okay?
Remember Revelation 3? Revelation 3, Jesus is talking to the church of Laodicea, and he's talking to this lukewarm church. The only thing in the whole Bible he says makes him want to throw up is a lukewarm church. That's love has become fair to middling towards him. And then he calls them to repentance. He says, you think you're rich, but you're not. You're poor. You think you can see, you're blind. You're naked. You're not even clothed in righteousness. And then in 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he's talking about his house. I'm knocking on the door of my house.
Yes.
How can it get to the place that we can do church well enough that we don't even need Jesus in there? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. That's communion. I will have communion with him, that relationship with him, and he with me. And then he says, he who has ears, let him hear. And he says, to him who overcomes, I'll give him the right to sit with me on my throne.
Yes.
Like I overcame and sat with my Father. And so the gift of the overcoming, we've decided we can do this so well in a lot of churches that we really don't need to ask him how anymore. And we don't need the power of his Spirit anymore. And sometimes even the power of his Spirit is not necessarily, we're not necessarily invited because it can be a little messy and a little bit sticky, you know? And so are there times in our services where, or even in our hearts and our homes, Jesus is on the outside looking in saying, listen, what you really need is communion with me.
Yes.
What you really need is relationship with me. And if you'll just overcome this lukewarmness, this lack of want, this lack of love, this lack of need, then I'll take you up on my lap. I'll take you up into my glory.
Yes.
And you can live with me in my throne room. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just do this on Sundays.
Yes.
You can live with me in a position of throne room relationship.
Yes.
Goodness, that's what I want.
Yes.
I want that so badly.
Yes.
I just want to remain in the arms of my Father. And far be it from me to ever do anything so well that I don't need Jesus there in order for me to accomplish it.
Yes.
It. I don't want to sing that well. I don't want to teach. I don't want to write that well. I don't want to do anything so well that I don't need Jesus, that he's not the center passion of my heart. And I think that's the difference between the worship that we've defined this type of worship that's a music. It can be on a radio station. It can be packaged and shrink-wrapped and sold.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
not the same thing as being desperately in love.
Yes, yes. And I'm crying because this is just so dear to my heart that I'm seeing the church not coming to the place where it should come, because everybody's on a time schedule, or you have this meeting afterwards, or you have this program or whatever. And I'm asking the authorities that God has placed in the authorities to please make room for Jesus in your service. Please allow the Holy Spirit to move because the people have to have the anointing that destroys the yoke.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Holy Spirit is not going to show up on your schedule. You're just going to have to make room for him.
Mm-hmm.
That it will trickle down to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm asking the men, the high priest of the home, because God has placed you men over the earth, that you will please dwell in your dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Because Satan didn't take your dominion. In the beginning he did, but Jesus gave it back.
That's right.
So you don't have an excuse,
mm-hmm.
okay? Dwell in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, I promise you, your woman and your children will line up.
Boy, I like that. That's my little church, my house. That's my little church.
And that is on my heart. That is on my heart. It really is. And I see it. I see what God is doing, because in his word he says he's coming back for a church.
Yeah.
Without, and you say that here, a spot or a wrinkle.
Yeah.
And it's not going to feel very, he's gonna mess up church as usual.
Yeah.
It's not going to feel very good.
Well, it's his. He can do that if he wants.
Woo!
You remember the story. It's fascinating to me that God gives us options of doing things without him if we want. Do you remember the story of Moses when he's taking the people into the promised land, and God says, I'm going to send you into the promised land, but I'm not going to go with you because you're stiff-necked and I might have to kill you. And God actually gives them the option of walking into the promised land without him. And Moses says, no, if you're not going to go, I don't want to go. Because what is a promised land without the presence of God?
Yes.
What is a ministry? What is a home? What is a neighborhood? What is a nation? What is a church of thousands of people without the presence of God? What happens when the lost come and they find, we've got our act together. Boy, we got good music, good preaching, good programs. But it's empty. There's no presence of God. It's the presence. It's the Spirit of God that heals, delivers, that teaches, that equips, that releases, that calls. It's the presence of God that makes demons flee. It's the name and the presence of Jesus Christ that sets people on their knees, and demons on their knees, and angels on their knees. There's no such thing as a promise without the presence of God. It's not a real promised land that way. And that's what Moses understood. What makes that the promised land is not the size of the grapes. What makes that a promised land is not the honey, is not the milk, is not that we have our own land. What makes that a promised land is that we have God with us.
Yes.
And with any promise that he's given us, with any calling that he's given us, with the churches that we're involved in, what makes that a promised land is the presence of the Most High God. And that's why he said, don't send me if you're not going to go. And then immediately after that, he said, now show me your glory.
Mm, that's good.
And then the
Lord
did. I want
to talk about this song because it's in my spirit that the Holy Spirit wrote through you. Mm-hmm. The more that I seek you.
Ah, the more I seek you. Sure, yeah.
When you were writing that song, what was going on?
Have you ever looked through the Bible, you're reading through the Bible, and you see somebody whose relationship with Jesus you just envy? I mean, to the point of tears. You know, Abraham, Moses, you talked with him as a friend talks with a friend. You called them friends. You called them friends. You talked with them like I sit down with my buddy over coffee, and you talked with them. I was so jealous I could cry. And John, David, a man after God. You called him a man after your own heart. You spoke through him and to him consistently. I'm so jealous I could cry. And then I thought about John, the disciple. And John, you know, was so intimate with the love of God that he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Yes.
That's how he identified himself. I'm the guy Jesus loves. I don't know about you guys, but he loves me.
Yes.
And he was the only disciple that actually was at the foot of the cross and saw what Jesus did for him.
Yes.
And it was him that during the Last Supper, when everyone else is arguing over who's the greatest and who's going to betray him, John just leans back against the chest of Jesus. And I just put myself in that place. And honestly, there's a thing such as holy jealousy. And I was so jealous of John leaning back against Jesus's chest. And I put myself in that place. I can hear the heart. I'm leaning. I can hear the heartbeat of God.
Can we just hear just a little bit of the song? I'm putting you on the spot.
Are you going to embarrass me? I don't have a guitar
Please,
or anything.
You don't need a guitar.
Yeah, I can sing this song. It's going to not sound good in my morning
voice. It's going to sound good because I'm going to come in with you.
All right. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. So I'm thinking about John.
Yes.
So jealous. And I'm actually walking around the sanctuary praying over John and singing. And I had to go back and this was, I wrote the song in 1997, okay? So this is when we, you know, if you wanted to make overheads, you had to go copy them in the back, you know? So I went in the back and I was preparing worship for that weekend because I was a worship pastor. And I'm making copies and I just felt a fluttering over my head. It felt like there was a bird flying over the top of my head. And then these words just downloaded, whoop, came in. The more I seek you, the more I find. That verse just came right down into my heart. And I ran out and I picked up my guitar and I started singing that. And as I'm singing that, then the rest of the song, which really, it's just about that life of communion. I want to sit at your feet. That's John. Drink from the cup in your hand.
Mm.
That's John. Lay back against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. So what I was there. I was in that moment of communion with Jesus, and that song just poured out. And it was 5 minutes. I wrote that song in 5 minutes. And it's a little song, you know, but I've had people accuse me of writing it for a girl.
Because
of the intimacy of the song.
Oh, yeah, but that's you in the throne room.
And some people don't get
it. With your father.
And some people will never get
it. Oh, my goodness.
Until they allow their hearts to be pierced through with the same nails that went through his hands, so they can feel the depth of his love, and they can allow themselves to be loved that way, and they can allow themselves to see God as a God who desires to be loved that way. And it's really hard for people to get. Maybe it's easier for women than guys because of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always think, oh, he must have written that for another. No, that's. I feel that way about Jesus Christ more than
love.
I feel that way about
it's
any
pure
human being.
Love.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's the purity.
That's
of
right.
Love. A lot of people have not experienced that, unfortunately.
No.
But I pray that all will come into the truth and the knowledge
Amen.
Of who He is.
That's right.
And when you do that, you will experience pure love. You know, Pastor, God has put this on my heart. You know, I tell people that in the beginning of my life, how I had to worship.
Yeah.
I had to worship so that I could live.
Yeah.
And now I live to worship.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are some listeners out there today that are in the place where you feel like you can't make it, that you can't, that you need to lay a back against him and breathe, and that you need a cup, that you want to drink from the cup. Just worship him.
Mm-hmm.
Worship him so that you can live.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, one day you will worship him.
Mm-hmm.
In spirit and in truth.
That's right.
And you will worship him. You will live to worship him, and you will worship him to live. Pastor, go ahead and give us the final words of this.
Here's the final words. You and I were created as temples of the Holy Spirit. We were created to be filled because God wants everywhere we go to be meeting places between himself and humanity. And worship is what prepares that throne for him to come and to fill his temple. So you and I, what an honor. Every time God sent his glory, he sent a fire on the temple in Moses' tabernacle and Solomon's temple. On the day of Pentecost, the flames over their head, he said, all right, today, now from now on, you guys are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And what if he were to come and to do that very same thing for you and I, that his fire and his breath would move through us, and that everywhere we go, people are able to meet with the living God.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Neese. It was such an honor having you here today minister to our audience. I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that you allow so freely
thank you.
To dominate your being. Church, next time and this time, stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Vine Life. For more information on today's show, Worship the King with Pastor Zach Neese, you can go to www.theinterviews.com or www.zachneese.com. This show brought to you by Vine Life Ministries.